Our scripture today is from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 1 to 17. And you'll find it in your pew Bibles in the New Testament on page 89. Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, 'You must be born anew.' The wind blows where it wills, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know whence it comes or whither it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can this be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand this? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know. We bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I've told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God sent the Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. May please. Lord, thank you for this faithful people gathered here. May we be refreshed and upheld by your word in whatever way it reaches us today. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. I'm sure all of you remember Thomas Edison's famous statement, "Genius is 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration." We're all familiar with the efforts of modern inventors. We know they spend years working around the clock. We know how many times they fail as they try to make something concrete out of their inspired ideas. It's fair to say that Thomas Edison was right 100 years ago, and he's still right today. But accomplishing God's word as a Christian calls for a reversal of those percentages. Being a Christian is 99% inspiration and 1% perspiration. It's the inspiration God sends us through the Holy Spirit that helps us recognize who Jesus Christ is to begin with. It's gracious inspiration that effectively guides us in following Christ. As Pastor Steve told us in his sermon last week on Pentecost, the Holy Spirit is the illuminator, the Spirit of truth, the advocate that Jesus promised he would send his followers. This sheds light on why Jesus told Nicodemus that in order to see the kingdom of God, he would have to be born from above. It's the work of the Spirit to reveal Jesus as the Son of God. Nicodemus had worked hard. He'd expended the perspiration. He was a very well-educated man, someone who had studied the scripture for years. His learning and his observance of the laws of God showed that he had made every effort we could expect, and more. Yet none of that gave him the vision and understanding, the inspiration that he needed to see that Jesus was more than a teacher sent from God. If the Spirit's inspiration is lacking, we might never begin to comprehend the reality of our living God. Without it, our faith won't live and grow. Charles Wesley, the brother of John Wesley, a truly inspired and prolific writer of poetry and hymns, once expressed it this way: "Whether the word be preached or read, no saving benefit I gain from empty sounds or letters dead, unprofitable all and vain, unless by faith thy word I hear and see its heavenly character. Unmixed with faith, the scripture gives no comfort, life, or light to see, but me in darker darkness leaves, implunged in deeper misery, overwhelmed with nature's sorest ills. The Spirit saves, the letter kills." Those of us who live in the 21st century need the inspiration of the Spirit as much as Nicodemus or Charles Wesley did. But today is Trinity Sunday, so we're not emphasizing the Spirit's work by itself. Instead, we're looking to the Spirit as part of the Trinity of Father, Son, and Spirit. Our scripture highlights the role of the Holy Spirit, but in such a way that all three persons of the Trinity are seen to be at work. God is present as the one whose word Nicodemus has studied and taught. He's present not only as Jesus' father, but as the one who created Nicodemus and the world he lived in. Jesus is present as the one who came to save. He will redeem Nicodemus and all of humanity when he's sacrificed on the cross. And the Holy Spirit is present as the power that points us to faith in Christ, regenerating our understanding and our characters through spiritual rebirth. We believe that Father, Son, and Spirit all share the same essence and a unity of purpose. But we sometimes experience them so distinctly that we speak of God in three persons, Blessed Trinity. Near the end of the Gospel of John, we read that Nicodemus came with Joseph of Arimathea to claim Jesus' body after he was crucified. They wrapped it with spices in linen cloths, and they laid it in a new tomb. This is the action of a man willing to risk his reputation as a leader and a scholar within his own community by associating himself with someone who had died a criminal's death. This is the act of a man who has begun to recognize that Jesus was more than a teacher sent from God. A man who has been inspired. When I think about being born from above, or think about the Trinity, I am sometimes tempted to ask, with Nicodemus, how can these things be. Even the wisest of our teachers admit that these are spiritual mysteries that are very hard to understand. It helps to remember that the essence of God in all persons is love. John 3:16 expresses this Trinitarian love that God has for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. The evidence of our own rebirth is shown in our love and care for others. For most of us, this is a process in our Christian life, not an immediate change of character. All of us benefit from the continued strength and inspiration of the Spirit. All of us benefit through attention to the Word of God in prayer, worship, and study. We're all in need of the redemption that Christ offers us. But love for others issues in action. As Jesus has put us into right relationship with God, as God has taught us to act, and as the Spirit directs our action, we show God's love to the world. Sometimes this happens nearby. One of our members fell down outside her home this week. Another member happened to be driving down the street and saw her on the ground. She stopped to help her up. Another member went with her to the hospital. All of that was love in action. God's love in our actions. I haven't mentioned any names in this example, but I'm hopeful that each of you could think of the names of people here who would show that love to you if it were needed. Other times, the love of God shows up in what might seem unlikely places. On this Memorial Day weekend, there's been a lot in the news about the various wars our country has been involved in. We've heard stories about war memorials and stories about fallen soldiers and their families. Some of you here today have had the experience of being in battle. To serve in the military is to stand in for your fellow citizens who then continue to lead their lives in safety. This itself is a sacrifice. But in the midst of the fierceness of fighting, we hear of even greater sacrifice. Soldiers sacrifice themselves to save others. We call this courage, and it is. But isn't it foundationally an expression of love? What better good Samaritan could there be than one who not only rescues, but gives one's own life for another? To take a very different example, we look at the love of God that is present when we worship. We worship because we want to praise the God who created us, who has redeemed us, and who continues to inspire us. In spite of whatever divides us, we unite when we worship together as a congregation. The hymns we sing remind us of what we share in common, and we sing together not only in voice, but in spirit. I'd like to add my appreciation for the skills of all of our musicians. They express their love for God using their voices or using musical instruments. Every week, they help lift the rest of us into a state of openness to God's influence. They help refresh our faith and our spirits, which helps us to be the loving people who God created us to be. Before I close, I need to highlight one other portion of our scripture. You've heard about this before, but it's obscure and it's hard to remember, so it needs mentioning. In verses 14 and 15, Jesus states, "And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." These verses refer to an event in the Old Testament book of Numbers. The Hebrew people were wandering in the wilderness after the Exodus from Egypt, but before they finally arrived in the Promised Land. They were complaining about Moses, complaining about God, complaining about the manna that God sent them each day to keep them alive. Miserable food, they called it. In response, God sent out poisonous serpents who bit the people, and many of them died. You might be asking yourselves, what does this have to do with the Trinitarian love of God? What does this have to do with love at all? What we see is perhaps a reminder. We might call it a correction. When anything is boundless in its supply, we tend to take it for granted. This is true even of the love of God. This scripture reminds us of what a precious thing God's love is. It invites us to consider where we might be without it. In response to the serpent attack, the people repented. They asked Moses to pray that God would take the serpents away. God forgave them. He instructed Moses to make a serpent of bronze and lift it up on a pole. Anyone who was bitten could look at that bronze serpent and be saved, cured rather than killed. Jesus is saying that in a similar way, his own death, his being lifted up on the cross, will provide life for his followers, eternal life. So after all, this story is about love. Where in your life this past week have you seen God at work as Father, Son, and Spirit, or if you prefer, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer? Who do you know in need of God's love? This coming week, resolve to find a way to show God's love every day to someone who needs to receive it. Pray with me, please. Lord, thank you for your presence with us in every circumstance. Help us use every circumstance as praise to you. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.